Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday at the California United Church of Christ. Our services last Sunday were led by Colton Folks in a return engagement. He does a great job of leading our worship in this time of transition when we're without a permanent pastor. We also would invite you to join us either at our sister church at Salem at 8:30 or at our church at 101 North Oak at 10:30. Our services this morning are going to be led by Brenda Osterley, who is a member of our sister church out at Salem. We appreciate her service to us, and you'd certainly be welcome to join us. Our service opened with a real highlight, our children's choir singing Go Light Your World.
Church. I'd like for you to do the call to worship with me. We praise you, Almighty God, for the gift of this day. Your Spirit has gathered us to be the Church of Jesus Christ.
May we grow in your wisdom and grace. May we worship you with awe and wonder.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with joy.
Amen.
Please sing with me hymn number 38, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above.
Thank you.
senior choir sings We Will Walk in the Light.
We will walk in the light. We will walk in the light. Yes, we will walk in the light of the Lord. Through every night and every day, we will surely find our way. When we walk in the light of the Lord.
We will walk
in the light.
Snyder reads the morning scriptures, followed by Colton Folk's message, Waiting for His Fruit.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lead your church, O living God, so that your word may be written in our hearts. Lead us in the way of Christ Jesus, your Son, so that we may share in his ministry and enjoy his life. Lead us to the truth that sets all your children free. We pray in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ, our crucified, risen, and reigning Lord. Amen. Our first lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My faith, my way is hid from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here ends the second lesson.
Good morning, church. It's me again. Thank you for that, Becky. We've got a theme going on of light, two songs, a children's time message about our candles, so I'm going to talk about something different. Just kidding. So glad to be here. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about waiting this morning, waiting on the fruit of the Lord, waiting on his gifts. You know, we're always filled with a lot of questions. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives. We say, I don't understand why I have not been drawn out of my temptations. I don't understand why bad things are still happening, why I still feel this anger. You know, we can get awful impatient waiting on things that are good to us. But we often forget that we are in the timing of the Lord. You know, we forget that God has seen everything and has ordained everything. He lives throughout time. You know, it's not that he already knows the future. He's in the future and he's in right now. And he's in talking to Abraham right now. But we can't understand that because all I know is right now. And right now just left. Am I getting over your head? He's all around us. We forget oftentimes that everything is done to glorify his name. We forget how long sometimes his sanctification can take. So we're going to talk a little bit about why exactly we would be made to wait. I'm going to read off, I'm going to jump around in Isaiah. We're starting chapter 64. Verse 8, Isaiah says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." I'm going to jump one book later. Jeremiah. Some chapter of Jeremiah that I wrote down. Jeremiah chapter 18. He writes, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 'Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it.'" Now let's focus on this first part. Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? He's reassuring us something through our faith. He is the potter, and he is shaping us. You know, when you make pottery and they're spinning the clay and they're moving it, they use pressure. They'll have both their hands like that. I'm sure you've seen them. They do it at the Ham and Turkey Festival. There's usually a lady doing it. They're putting pressure from the outside, and they're putting pressure from the inside, and they mold that pot. That's exactly what happens to us when we have things that go wrong in our lives and things that happen inside of us, temptations, sin, anger. We have pressure on the inside, pressure on the outside for the sole purpose of the potter molding us. See, God works a lot of miracles. He does a lot of things like that. He made Jesus like that. That was an immaculate, what's the word I'm looking for? Consummation, out of nowhere. He made his son in the Virgin Mary. Jesus resurrected people from the dead. I mean, plain odd, halfway to stinking, dead. Just like that. But oftentimes with us, he works it a little differently. I have a friend who will testify that he prayed and prayed about his use of cigarettes. And he could not get over them no matter what he did. Until finally, one day, something just popped. And it came to him. And he'll work like that through us a lot. But oftentimes, he's going to work for the purposes of glorifying his name. These things are done to help us win our race. I gave a sermon about that a long time ago when Paul wrote about running the race, training ourselves. That's exactly what that training looks like, putting us through temptations. We don't get to train in a room with a bag and a treadmill and there's no pressure. Our training is out there in the real world. It's experience. And that's one of three examples I'm going to get into about the ways that God shapes us. The potter's the first one. We're going to go into the second one about the forge. You put a pot, or you put your clay into a kiln to harden it, into the heat of the kiln. 1 Peter, we're starting in verse 3, he writes, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through the faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He compares it to gold, worth more than gold, which is also refined by fire, in the same way we are refined through these grief in all kinds of trials. Peter reaffirms it right there. So we're being put through things for the sole purpose of strengthening us. You know, when you pray to God for stronger faith, he'll give you stronger faith by showing you how he's working. And he's going to do that in all kinds of ways. When you pray to God that you would be a more loving person, he's going to send somebody to first love you. You know, the way I became a forgiving person was God made me someone who needed to be forgiven. I became a loving person because God first loved me, and he sent people that loved me to show me what that means. He likes to work through the practical so that our faith might be glorified through the truth of this world. And he says it again, faith. You know, even our faith is a gift from God and the Spirit that is within us, but it is through this faith and Jesus' death that we get all these things. I'm going to get into a little prophecy for you. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi writes, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. We'll put a pin in this. That's John the Baptist. This is Old Testament. That's exactly who he's talking about. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. Right there we see that example again, a refiner's fire, and he will sit as the refiner and purifier. He's with you the whole time. As empty as life feels, when our light feels like it's flickering and wavering, the refiner's sitting right there, and we can't really see the heat. We sure can feel it at times. And that's the overall message I'm trying to tell you this morning. I'll get into our third example, which is the fruit, which is what I've decided to name my sermon after. You know, it's easy for us to be impatient. It's easy for us to get ahead of ourselves because it's so easy to forget so many things. You know, we're only here for a short little while, unfortunately. But then we get in the whole entire eternity, which is forever and ever and ever and ever. It's hard to even think about. You know, I think of a joke I heard about time that I feel will apply to this situation. It comes from a man named Jerry Clower. And I'm one of few in my generation to know this name. It's about the hog feed salesman. You know, back in the day, it was kind of a big deal when you were making mixed feeds and selling them. And he went out to an old farm, and he went up to the farmer's hogs, and they're just these little skinny things. And he said, "What are you feeding them things?" And he goes, "Well, we feed them slop and anything that happens to run in that pen and they can get their hands on." He said, "Well, how old are they?" He said, "Well, these are about a year and a half." And he goes, "Oh, sir, if you would feed them my homogenized corn, soy, high-protein specialty feed, in 6 months, these hogs would weigh double what they weigh right now." And that farmer kind of looks at those hogs, and he looks back at that fella, and he said, "Yeah, but what's time to a hog? Time is nothing but for passing. That's all it was made for. Time is, what's time to a hog? What's time to us but waiting? Good things come to those who wait." We ever heard that? We're in an era where nobody wants to wait on nothing. Why would you? I've got a cell phone over here that'll give me anything I want in about half a second, which is a crazy thought to think. If you want to know anything, you just look it up. You used to have to go to a library and go through a decimal system that some guy named Dewey made. And Dewey wasn't a very smart guy because it makes no sense. And if that didn't work, you had to trust your mother. You had two choices in Latham, Missouri when I was growing up. Now we don't have to wait on nothing. But sometimes he's going to give us that patience by making us wait. He's the best doctor there is. He's going to prescribe things to us perfectly. I want to get into the fruit we talked about in our readings. Jesus talks about the fruit. The fruit is our actions, our responses. There's a song then, "They will know we are Christians by our love." They will know you are a Christian by your actions. Paul writes about that again. You will know them by their fruits. The fruits don't come from me. The good things I do don't come from me. All credit goes to God who works through me. And I'm so glad he does, because I'd have a hard time doing anything good on my own. But how can we understand this process better? God gives us a very simple answer through James. We're starting James chapter 5. This might be something you might have heard before. You might not have ever heard this word before. It's called pray. We're going to start in verse 7. Oddly enough, this one is entitled in my Bible, "Patience in Suffering." "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in living, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him." I turned two pages. "The face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And that's the best example of what we're about to get into. Job. Job had everything taken away from him in his life. He became covered in spots and sickness. His cattle were taken, his land, his family. And yet at the end of it all, Job didn't give in to Satan. Job fell to his knees and he praised God. And God rewarded Job by giving back to him tenfold what he had. You know, through it all, when we praise God for our trials and afflictions, he might not reward us on this earth. That's not what we were promised on Jesus' death on the cross. We were promised something far better than riches and gold that we'll ever experience here. Life eternal. Life in paradise, a paradise we can't understand quite yet, but a paradise so great that no man, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. We'll keep reading how we get through these. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What makes someone a righteous person? Faith. It is written by Paul, your faith is reckoned unto righteousness. It's a very simple answer. God says, just pray. Ask. It's like the man who was drowning in debt, and he said, Lord, he'd come to the church on Sunday. He said, Lord, I need this job. This is a good paying job, Lord. It's just what I want to do. And the money's going to get to pay off these debts, and I'll move forward. Just help me get this job. And a week later, nothing happened. He goes to the church, and he prays again, Lord, I just need this job. Help me. And a week later, nothing happened again, and he's praying silently, Lord, I need this job. And hears a voice in his ear. He said, my son, help me. Meet me halfway. Put in an application. He answered him, just ask, and it will be given. We're told that so many times. He hears you. He loves you. He is full of mercy and grace and gifts to give. When you need love, pray for love. God will fill you with love. And usually it's love for others that will stem into love. God can fill you with whatever you want. These are gifts meant to be shared. When you are given love, give love. When you are given mercy, give mercy. When you are given forgiveness, give forgiveness. What a gift it is that we can abide in such peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with a perfect God full of strength, who will give us this strength freely and so easily, incredibly easily, actually. He did like all the work 2,000 years ago. Really tough work. I'm going to my final here. There it is. So when your light feels dim or faltering, have patience. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no matter what happens, have patience. Give thanks to God. Don't let these hardships cause you to falter or stumble. Stay in prayer. And in all things, give God thanks. Be thankful that He sees you as strong enough, or that He is giving you this opportunity to grow in your strength and your faith. Share these things with one another. Share each other's burdens. Share each other's blessings. Be in constant communion with your brothers and sisters. As God who first loved us, we must love each other. We're going to go into our last hymn. It's number 368. And that's the final thing I'm going to say. Continue to pray that you might bear fruit, that you might be put through the furnace and the forge, so that you would be purified, and that you might be molded and shaped and finally put in the kiln as God makes you in the shape He wants. Please join me in prayer. I'll start, and then we'll all pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this day, that this congregation might be together. I thank You, Lord, for these new members of the consistory that are being installed. I pray for Your guidance, that You might give them wisdom and strength in this job. I thank You, Lord, for all the gifts You give us, for the constant guidance, for the Spirit that You have sent to dwell within us so that You might shape us and be with us and abide with us personally. Lord, I thank You for the strengths we give us, for the trials and temptations we go through. I thank You for Your sanctification, and I thank You, Lord, that we are not alone in this. You constantly walk with us and abide in us because You love us, Lord. I ask, Lord, that You help us to continue in our love for You and our love for each other, that we might help each other, that we might stay in prayer, that we might continue this journey. As I pray in the way Your Son taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts.